Genus Steel offer full-service structural steel to leading industrial and residential builders across all metropolitan Melbourne and regional areas of Victoria. At Genus Steel, we take pride in our product, service and reputation. With over 40 years industry experience, Genus Steel manages all aspects of steel fabrication from on-site measuring, in-house drafting, fabrication through to full site installation. We work closely with our customers to deliver innovative solutions to facilitate projects of any size. For further information, please contact genussteel.com.au or contact the company on 03 9465 1287.
Preston, Marketo. Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo. Near post, Zinni. It's in. And again, Warren Speak has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the centre, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Lions Den here live on FNR Football Nation Radio. Josh Parrish alongside Chris Terpos once again here in FNR Studios. And what a week it's been in Preston land. We've got so much to get through. A huge win over the previously top of the table side for the men's. The women's team getting off to a flyer. The women's team actually playing a game right as we are speaking now. So we will cross live over and get an update from the women's head coach, Luca Fananzio, shortly, as well as interviewing a true legend of the Preston Macedonia history. So much so that he is the jointly named after him is the top goal scorer award. I think everyone knows who we're talking about. But Chris, welcome.
Thank you, Josh. Lovely to be here again, mate.
And let's start with 3-1 over Altona City on the weekend. Huge result for the club.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was a top of the table clash, as we said, against Altona City last Saturday night. Big travelling Preston crowd making their way down to Kim Reserve there in Altona, and they weren't left disappointed as the boys recorded a very strong 3-1 victory on the night with young Nicky Talamzioski getting the scoring underway with an absolute cracker strike from outside the box. That was a long diagonal ball, basically over the top of the defenders, and he let it bounce once and just on his left foot, I think it was, just flied over the keeper and into the net. So it was a great start for the team and young Nicky.
And he definitely has that in his locker. I can see him always going for it when he's cutting inside onto that left foot from the right flank. He always has that effort in his locker, and it's great to see it come off.
Yeah, definitely. And then in the second half, Karl Baricevic managed to take advantage of a bit of a goalmouth scramble to make it 2-0.
I believe we're supposed to call him Petter on this show, right?
Fair enough, we'll do that then. Petter to Karl Baricevic, that's the one. And finally, big SMS, Sam Mason-Smith got on the end of some good work down the left by smashing in across to put the game beyond doubt at 3-0. And Altona City getting a consolation penalty right near the death.
A fantastic result. I believe, you know, you were in attendance there. I couldn't make it to the away game.
But... Yeah, no, we were there. So it was a really, really disciplined and commanding performance from the boys. They responded ever so well from the disappointment of the previous week. We obviously had Lockie in last week, and you could tell from what he was saying, the boys were pretty disappointed with the way that game played out. But they definitely made amends this week. Altona City, they had a plan to try and ruffle Preston's feathers a bit with their trademark physicality, and there were a few confrontations out there during the game. But Preston stuck to playing football and executed Louis' plan perfectly. And the young guys at the back stood up superbly. Matthew Breeze and Lockie in the middle were great all night, and we were just too good in the end. So a great early season test, and the boys came through with flying colours.
Yeah, it's terrific. And I think there's a message in there that if you listen to Mr. Luatsevsky and implement the game plan, that results tend to follow, which is, you know, maybe the lessons learned from the week previous. And I guess that's the way football goes sometimes. Nil or draw against the bottom of the table side, or they then were, and then a magnificent victory over the high-flying tabletoppers. But does that mean there's been a little change at the top of the State League One ladder, Chris?
Yes, so the Preston Lions are currently sitting on first spot on the ladder, so we're very very happy about that. Yeah. But yeah, only 1 point ahead of, we're the only undefeated team left in the league, by the way. And yeah, but only 1 point ahead of North Sunshine, Whittlesea United and Altona City, so still a long way to go, but positive signs early.
It's crowded up the top there in State League One, but hopefully that's the way it stays. Yep. It's going to be a long and tough season, I'm sure, many twists and turns to come. Yep. But very, very good start. 3 wins from 4, undefeated, as you say. And, you know, you couldn't hope for much better.
Yeah, I think if we had this put to us at the start of the season, that's where we'd be after 4 hours. We'd take it every day of the week.
For this kind of start. Yep. What about the women? 2-0 win away to Moreland Zebras.
Yes, they got continued on their merry way last weekend with a solid 2-1 win, thanks to goals from our lovely guest from last week, Claudia DeMarzi, scoring in the third minute, I think. So she was on fire early.
There you go. If you come on the lines, Dan, you tend to follow it up with a spectacular performance. So it's a message to all the junior players who are currently crowded outside the back of the studio. Yep, I think they all want to get in the shot just so they can pick up some form.
G'day, guys. I'm waving there behind us. All good. And yeah, also Taylor Halabi getting on the score sheet there, so the girls also are sitting in equal first spot in their State League One division, along with Melbourne Uni, with 2 wins from their first 2 games, and the women's reserves also recorded a 2-1 win as well, and they sit in first position as well. So an all-round great start to the women's season, which is fantastic to see. And of course tonight, as we speak, as we said earlier, the girls are playing up in Ballarat in their round 3 Nike FC Cup game that kicked off at 7:30. And we all had an early score update that the girls were leading 2-1 after about 25 minutes or so. And we'll aim to give you some score updates. And as you said earlier, we'll check in with Coach Luca Finanzio at halftime there. So another 10 or so minutes roughly. And we'll see what he has to say with the first half there.
There is one update that I want to get, and I don't actually know this. Have the playing kits finally arrived, or are we still waiting?
We are still waiting. We are still waiting, unfortunately.
It's agonizing.
They are definitely on their way. I believe some are here. They're just not in our hands.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep track of the... I'm sure we've got a little Australia Post tracking number. We'll keep you posted on the GPS positioning of the kits throughout the show. But the men coming up this Saturday, revised time slot for kickoff. Very important. 2 p.m. on Saturday, not 3 p.m., at BT Connor, or otherwise known as Jenna Steele Stadium, a huge FFA Cup tie against NPL opposition in Dandenong City.
Yep, definitely. And as we said last week, mate, Dandy City haven't had the greatest of starts to their NPL 1 campaign this season, currently sitting at the foot of the table with 1 win, 1 draw and 7 losses. So it'll be a great opportunity for our boys to test themselves against some quality NPL 1 opposition, and they can probably go into that clash with a fair bit of confidence after last weekend's result, I would have thought. So, we're all very much looking forward to that contest on Saturday.
A home game against NPL cellar dwellers, it must be said. They do have some great players in their lineup, some former A-leaguers and the likes of Mark Ocheng and Diogo Ferreira who've come into that side. So high-profile recruitment. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of team opposition coach Jelko Kuzman puts out, whether he wants to prioritise the cup or focus on, you know, that relegation battle that they're in the top tier. But I would, you know, caution him not to take this game lightly, because I think with the respective form of each side, even though there are 2 divisions between them, I think this will be a close one.
Yep, 100%. I think it'll be a fantastic game. And yeah, I think we'll definitely give them a run for their money, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I actually took in a Dandenong City game a couple of weeks ago when they faced Oakley at home, and they were... there's a little bit of an anxiety about the place. Yep. They wonder if they're bitten off more than they can chew getting up. Obviously, getting promoted is a fantastic thing, but yeah, I think they're in for a tough slog this season. So, you know, it's when a side is kind of down on their fortune and down on morale, then there's no telling what, you know, a positive mentality can achieve. And I would wager that, you know, on form, and also irrespective of the golf in divisions, I think Preston need to believe in themselves for this game and really believe that they can go out there and not only scrape a result, but actually attack Dandy City.
Yep, definitely. So, yep, I'm looking forward to the game, and I think Lou will have, you know, the intention of, you know, coming away with a good win, and let's see if we can get as far into this cup competition as we can.
Absolutely. And the women next up, they're very busy, obviously, midweek games and so forth. But their next home game against Brimbank for the men, I think. And Brimbank women are away to the Melbourne Knights.
Yes. So that's Sunday, the 28th of April. We have the men playing at home against league newcomers, Brimbank Stallions. So that's back to the regular 3 p.m. Kickoff. The women are also playing away to the Melbourne Knights on that same afternoon at 1 p.m. But yeah, Brimbank will also be a pretty tough game, I would have thought, because they haven't had the results, but they've had some really strong performances against some quality opposition. They only lost 5-4 to North Sunshine last week, so definitely a team not to take lightly.
Is Andrew Marth still in charge over Brimbank?
He's the
pretty
coach.
Pretty high-profile
appointment
in this division.
Yep, he's definitely there as the coach. So, as I said, it's a game that Lou and the boys won't want to be taking their foot off the pedal for, that's for sure.
I'm sure Brimbank will have a plan, having taken in some of Preston's football so far this season. But this Saturday, important to note, the last chance to buy memberships at the gate. So you got to get them if you want them this Saturday. This is the last chance you'll have to buy memberships up front. And, this week I think it's going to be a huge crowd coming in because, it's such a draw with a knockout tie against a big team.
Yep, definitely. I think we'll get probably 1,000 there, I reckon, without any hesitation there, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to wait until after the break to get the head coach of the women's team, Luca Finanzio, on the line for a couple of minutes and giving us a score update. Obviously, a little busy at present, so we'll let him tend to his coaching duties first. But after the break, we're also going to be chatting to the juniors coordinator, Ivan Trajkovski, a couple of the young guns coming through the youth system as well, before we speak to club legend Warren Spink. So stick with us.
You're listening to The Lion's Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Lion's Den here on FNR Football Nation Radio. This is, of course, the official Preston Lions Club show. Josh Parrish in studio with Chris Turpos. And as you can probably see if you're watching on the Facebook Live, we've had quite the reshuffle during the break, bringing in three new faces. Chris, please let us know who we have with us.
Yes, we have our juniors coordinator, Ivan Trajkovski, to my left, and joining him as well are two members of our boys under 15s team in Bish Nupane and Alexander Trajkovski. Welcome, guys. Firstly, we'll have a brief chat to Ivan, our juniors coordinator, mate. Tell us a little bit about the juniors program and how it's all kicked off this year.
Awesome, man. Great to be here, Chris. Thank you for the opportunity. On behalf of all the juniors, Mini Roos at Preston Lions, it's great to be here. We watch the show religiously, and we're now here. So also with the 15 boys, I want to thank all the parents that got the kids out here. So it's been a pleasure to have come back to Preston. I was a player from under 12s a long time ago, now sort of in a volunteer capacity, helping out the club as a coordinator. We're really well organised. Got a great bunch of coaches, great team managers, Nick Radecki, our technical director, the guidance with the football program, second to none, some amazing sponsors, which I want to shout out in a moment about, but it's been terrific as a start for the season.
Fantastic. Bish, I might start with you, mate. This is your third year at the club, is it, I believe?
Yeah, third season.
Third year, yep. You're playing in central midfield?
Yep.
What style of player do you consider yourself?
I would probably consider myself as a playmaker.
Yep.
Setting up the attacking line.
Yep.
Just creating those chances.
Yep. Excellent. Goal. Excellent. And Alex, or AJ, I believe you prefer to be called, mate.
Yeah, yep. Either one.
So you're obviously new to the club this year.
Yes,
coming from which club?
Laylaw.
Yep. Excellent. And you play over on the left-hand side?
Yep.
And I believe you scored quite the amazing goal on the weekend. Tell us a little bit about that.
Could say so. So it was basically taking a corner, put it in the box, and it floated back in. So
bit of wind assistance there.
I like to think so.
Excellent, mate. Well, the boys have gotten off to a pretty good start this year. You had a good 6-2 win first up in round one and a draw last weekend, 2-2 versus Upfield. How do you think the boys and the team have come together in this early part of the year?
I think as having a new coach this season, I think we have to adapt our play style a little bit, and I think we've done a good job so far.
Yep, excellent. All right, AJ, might ask you a little bit about when did you sort of first get involved in football?
I started when I was pretty young, around 3-4 years old. I remember my dad used to take me to these little soccer clinics, like little academies, and then I started keep playing. I loved the game. Been to a few different clubs, and now I'm here.
Yep.
For Preston.
Excellent. And what are some of the things that you guys enjoy about playing at Preston in the junior program?
I think the community that surrounds us is really nice. That involves like the parents encouraging us in game day and training sessions, and the messages that the coaches put forward to us is really encouraging and inspiring as well.
Yep, cool. And Bisha, as I said, you've been there for 3 years now. Is there anything new or different about the club this year that you've sort of noticed?
I think we've got new kits.
Yeah. And, well, not yet, we haven't, but they're coming very shortly, hopefully.
And I think having a new coach this season, a few new players, we've slightly got a new sort of play style and new tactics.
Yep.
And we have a different structure to how we like to play in game.
Yep, excellent. AJ, what sort of coming into the style of play that you guys like to play, what sort of qualities and skills and attributes do you think you yourself bring to the under-15s team?
For our team, we've got a lot of talented players in the squad, but we all each have our own areas, defenders, midfielders, attackers. My role would probably put more, put the balls in for the attackers, set pieces, those sort of things, and hopefully help the team to win the games and go forward for the season.
All right, the last question I'll ask both of you is, what team do you dream of playing for one day?
I mean, I dream to be playing really for any club, professional club at the top levels, Champions League winning teams, to play for your country. It's always a dream, and, top leagues, professional teams.
Got a favourite overseas club? Do you have a favourite overseas club?
Manchester United.
You're a Man United man? Yeah. And AJ, how about yourself, mate?
I'd have to say the opposite. The blue side, Man City.
And you got up early this morning to watch that game, did you?
Yep.
Unfortunate.
Well, I'm a Spurs fan, so I'm very happy.
Very good. Ivan, did you have anything else you wanted to add, mate, regarding this?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Chris. I just wanted to shout out, from a club perspective, the sponsors that have put their money towards the junior side has been fantastic this year. Want to shout out to Regal Sleep Solutions, South Morang, Option RV Caravans, Electrical Connectivity Australia, catch.com.au. Also a big shout out to Lou Stisanovsky for all the amazing work he's done over the last 4 or 5 years at the club at the junior coordinator level. I'm really his apprentice at the moment taking over. So Lou, thank you so much for all the great work you're doing, and Gordana for all the support. Together we're working with the Mini Roos. So we've got an amazing pathway we've put together with technical director Nick. And you're talking about Champions League. I'm not sure if you know, but a fact from only yesterday, Ajax had 4 of the starting 11 come through their academy. So maybe we've got 2 here sitting and Lou's watching and seeing these kids that might be the future for Preston. So once again, thanks for being here today.
No worries. How are we going, Josh?
We're just trying desperately to fix some audio issues on the Facebook Live, so apologies to everyone for that, and also trying to get hold of Luca Finanzio, who may well be in the middle of a team talk, but hopefully we'll get him shortly. But guys, what is your goal for this season for the juniors? What are you trying to achieve, based on a personal level?
I think at this age, it's all about developing, and psychologically and physically, and obviously like technical ability on the ball. So I think for everyone, it's just about developing your skills further.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we do actually have Luca Finanzio, the women's head coach, on the line. Luca, thank you so much for making the time to get on the line and join us.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Yeah, we're going really well, mate. More importantly, how are you? How are the women going? What's the latest?
Well, before we get into that, how warm is it in the studio right now?
It's toasty.
Well, Ballarat certainly turned the weather on for us. We were all dressed as if it was the middle of July. Yeah, look, we're up 2-1. And the girls are playing good footy. We went ahead really, really early, and then they pegged one back. But we managed to get one, and there's a bit of a breeze, so we'll have that breeze in the second half.
Fantastic. And what was your assessment of how the first half went, Luca?
Good. On the weekend we played Moreland and probably played a little less than what our expectations are, and there were a few factors because of that. Tonight was really about reviewing what we've done, where we're at, and what we're trying to do. And the ladies are certainly trying to do going back to the game plan and trying to put into place those types of things. So we've moved the ball around really, really well, which is what we want to do. The wind probably held up a couple of those diagonal balls that we like playing. So with the second half and with the wind to our backs, we should be able to just pierce them a little more often and get some nice 45-degree runs towards the keeper, which is what our bread and butter is.
And, Luca, did I see correctly that Alan, one of our newer recruits, might have scored that first goal this evening?
Yes, Chris, it was a cracker. It was about, as folklore will have it, it'll probably get further and further out. But it was a nice 35-yard screamer into the roof of the net. She brought it down after we pressed really well in the forward third. They tried to clear it, and she took it and then put it away. And the second goal was just as nice. It was a nice through ball, and Hayley out wide ran onto it and played a first-time ball. Past the keeper. So really high quality. We've just got to keep it up and making a few changes in the second half. Got a lot of the young girls up, make the trip up to Ballarat. So we want to get them on the field and give them a taste of senior footy too.
Very good.
Well, Luca, thank you so much for making the time to join us. We'll let you get back to it, but try and stay as warm as possible, and good luck to the women in the second half.
Thank you. I think my assistant coach and I are getting closer as the minutes tick by.
Huddle for warmth on the sideline there, mate. Thanks for coming on.
We will. Thanks for having me, Josh. Bye.
Luca Finanzio making the time to join us and give us an update from the women's game in Ballarat. With that, Chris, shall we take a short break?
Let's do it.
We'll have Warren Spink on the other side.
You're listening to The Lion's Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Lion's Den here live on FNR Football Nation Radio. Josh Parrish alongside Chris Terpos. And we have a club legend on the line, Chris.
We do, mate. We have a person who played for Preston on three separate occasions, amazingly. And as you said earlier, last year he was jointly named as the top goalscorer award after him, along with one of his former teammates. They call him Sid. Welcome to the line, Warren Spink.
Thanks, Chris. I kept coming back, mate, three times.
Mate, firstly, tell us the origin of that nickname.
Yeah, from Sid.
Yep.
Sid was actually... I got that at the AIS when I was 16, and it stuck pretty much like glue. It was a combination of, I used to listen to the Sex Pistols a lot. I was pretty much into that, and I used to get into a few fights here and there. So a few of the boys named me after Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols. So that kind of stuck. And, yeah. So it was, it stuck like glue, really. I mean, I used to have even Eddie Thompson would ring up my house sometimes, and, everyone would just call me Sid. My mum used to say, well, I don't know why I named you Warren, because no one bloody well calls you it.
Now, mate, you came over to Australia from the UK when you were about 12 years old, originally from Luton.
Yep.
Played your junior soccer here with Doveton, and I believe made your State League senior debut at about the age of 15 under Ernie Merrick. Is that right?
That's right, mate. Yeah, that's right. I came out at 12. I played in Doveton Juniors. And at 15, Ernie Merrick gave me my debut in the first team. I played half a season in the NPL. It was called the State League then.
Yep.
Ernie was player coach at the time. And, it was a very good learning experience.
Yep. It's not often we see many debuts at that age. In this day and age, with whether it's at A-League level or even NPL level, really. But back then, it was sort of more commonplace. I mean, people like yourself, you know, I think guys like Paul Trimboli, John Markoski, they also had their senior NSL debuts at like 15 or 16.
Yeah, well, you know, it's definitely a good thing. And, you know, going back then as well, we're talking, you know, 1982, State League, NPL, muddy pitches, tackles from behind. So you really learn to look after yourself really quickly. Otherwise, you wouldn't have survived very long.
Now, mate, you after making your senior debut there with Dufton, you actually got the opportunity to join the AIS in their football program in 1983 under 84.
Yeah, 83, 84 went to the AIS, which was a great learning experience, Chris. I mean, I had 2 years there under Ron Smith and Jimmy Shoulder, training twice a day, learning my craft, and you know, unbelievably, for whatever reason, the FFA closed it down. I think a year or two ago, you could probably put 10 national teams out of the boys that have come through the AIS over the years. And yeah, what a stupid idea to close that down.
So yeah, Jimmy Shoulder. Jimmy Shoulder was a former Socceroos coach as well, from memory, I think.
He was, mate. Yep. Yeah, in the 70s, and a lot of people would know Ron Smith. He's been through with junior teams and national teams for a long time. Coached Perth Glory, coached in Asia, and yeah, look, it's, you know, that back then. So you got 18 boys, the best 18 boys basically in the country from 16, 17, and every training session was a war. It was so intense. Everyone wanted to impress. Everyone wanted to play. You know, the spots for the national youth team were up for grabs, and we had two really good coaches, which, you know, we learnt a lot of good habits and a lot about the game, which stuck with me through my whole career. I can remember some of my finishing doing stuff that Ron Smith taught me about, passing it into the corner and this and that, and that would go through my head my whole career.
And Warren, it's Josh here. What made Ron Smith such a special coach? Because I've heard so many players from that era just rave and rave about him and what an impact he had. Can you give us sort of any specific stories of how he helped you?
Well, Ron would bring ideas. Ron was probably one of the originals to break things down to the nth degree, and video analysis. I mean, I remember, I think Clayton Zane, the Newcastle Jets coach, I was chatting to him not long ago, and he goes, "Sid, so much has changed today than when you played." And I go, "Well, what's that?" And he goes, "Well, you know, video analysis and stuff." I go, "Mate, we were doing that in the AIS in 83, 84. You know, Ron Smith, we were doing this stuff. You know, he was well ahead of his time. And, you know, obviously his mannerisms and the way he could get things across. And we had the time to work on it all. I mean, you know, literally the AIS, I was there for 2 years, which was my year 11 and 12 at school. We still had to go to school. I got no idea how I passed my year 11 and 12 because I was hardly ever there. I was always down at the ground in the day just ripping balls here, trying to hit corners and in the indoor centre, practicing what we were working on. And I was lucky. I had a career as a footballer because it wouldn't have been much else, because school was very secondary to me then.
Well, 1985 rolls around, when you finished up at the AIS, I imagine there would have been a few NSL clubs circling for your services.
Yeah, I could have pretty much gone anywhere, but I decided on Preston with my dad. My dad loved Preston. He used to come to all the games with me, and then he came to me with the meetings with all the clubs, and, you know, I thought the meeting at Preston was the best one, and he encouraged me to get to join the club. And 85 I joined Preston. You know, and it was such a good learning experience for me, because I had, you know, up front we had Gary Cole, you know, 40 Socceroo caps, 20 odd goals, you know, Steve Smith as well. A lot of experienced boys in there. So, yeah, that was under Billy Murray. That was a really good move for me, and I got a good step in my career.
Yep, and you had a couple of other guys making their debuts in that year as well, the likes of Georgie Petrov.
Georgie P and Phil, yeah.
Phil and Billy Pikulovsky, I think, might have been in there as well.
Yes, Billy was there, absolutely.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, we all know how that season ended up, unfortunately, in the final series where we got bundled out by Brunswick Juventus in that very last game. But, yeah, you unfortunately couldn't play that final series because you were away with the Australian team at the FIFA World Youth Championships in Russia. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, that was so I was, you know, getting the, you know, it's not like these days where you can just pick up your phone and get the results. So I was getting the feedback and the scores and that in there. So yeah, unfortunately, I missed both of those games. But yeah, we were over in Russia, 85 World Cup final. We drew with Russia, we drew with Canada, and then we had to beat Nigeria to go throughout the group. We were 2-0 up at half time, and we lost 3-2. Our keeper, he threw a couple in. Yeah, so that was a real signal. We thought we were there at half time, but as international football will do, if you don't get it right, you'll get your ass handed to you.
And I believe you headed over to England after that.
Yeah, I went to Luton Town, which is where I grew up. We'd played a few with the AIS. We had a few tours over in Germany and Holland, and I actually won striker of the tournament in one of those tournaments. We actually played Real Madrid in the final. We beat a lot of good teams, Borussia Dortmund, Mönchengladbach, PSV, Ajax, and Luton wanted me to come over, so I went on loan for a season from Preston, and it actually went really well. I was the top scorer in the reserves. I was only 18, but Luton finished seventh. It was Luton's best ever season in the first division. They were always in the top four or five, and Brian Steen and Mick Harford up front were playing for England, so I couldn't get a game in the first team. Our reserve team was full of England youth internationals. Mike Newell, Mark Steen was in that team. So at the end of the season, I ended up coming back to Preston. I had a few offers. I could have gone to Brighton, Ipswich or Notts County, wanted me back, but I was still under contract with Preston, so I came back and, straight into the season, the next season with Preston.
So, 86, came back and played a few games for Preston, but, yeah, I understand there was a few sort of contract renewal issues at the time, but we won't get into that.
Yeah.
But, you eventually did end up moving across to Footscray Just under their coach at the time, Dragan Sekularić. Arguably one of the most gifted players ever to come out of the former Yugoslavia. Tell us a little bit what it was like playing under him.
Oh, mate, Shecky. Oh, unbelievable. Obviously, you know, back then, I'm just hearing stories about this guy, and I never forget my first training session. So I joined Footscray, and right at the end, we're just knocking some crosses in and we're hitting some volleys, and Shecky came in. Shecky couldn't speak a word of English, which was... So I had to learn. That's where I learned Yugoslav, because I thought, I need to know what this guy's saying. We're knocking some crosses in, and I was on the edge of the box, and Shecky strolls up. He must have been, I don't know, he's well into his late 50s at this stage, and the ball's come in, and he's turned blind on it and hit it with his left foot over his right shoulder, and it's fizzed over the crossbar. And I'm looking at the boys, and I'm going, what? I'm going, God, I need to know what this guy's saying. I mean, he's hitting just unbelievable stuff, you know. He was nearly 60. But he was a real taskmaster. He trained us really hard. But in terms of technical stuff and that, I learned so much off him. And he was an absolute legend. The crowd loved him. You know, it's good now. I can look and see some of the old footage of when he played, but he was an absolute icon, and quite a few of us boys there learnt so much off him. Unfortunately, he died only a few months ago, which was sad to hear.
Do you remember any phrases in the language still? Could you give us a demo?
Oh, well, God, I probably can't say it on here, but Shecky used to swear a lot, and he'd be spink, and then it would just be a barrage of abuse and whatever, and I'd just go running wherever. I'd just be pinging off all over the place. But it was funny because there was only, three of us that couldn't speak Yugoslav, because most of the boys, we had some three foreigners, some really good ones. We had Vlada Stosic,
who went and played in a European Cup final for Red Star, was an 18-year-old with the team then, and we had two older Yugoslav boys, the goalkeeper Zoran Nikitovic and Vojo at the back, a good defender. But Cheki, I had to learn Yugoslav because it was only me, Ozzie Lateef, and maybe Tyron Jones and Kenny Murphy in that squad that we couldn't understand it. And so Vlado Bojanovski was the interpreter, but I made an effort to learn a bit of Yugoslav, and at least you have half an idea when Cheki was either swearing at me or praising me.
And I think it was during your time at Just that you would have made your debut in the Socceroos. Would that be around about that time?
Yeah, 88. Yep. 88 was my debut against New Zealand. Around that time. So, that was a good period in my career.
Yep. So I played 38 games for the Socceroos, scoring 10 goals, I think it was. And that would have been under what? Frank Arock at the time, probably, yeah?
Frank Arock, yeah. Yep. Frank was the first one, and then Tomo, Eddie Thompson, took over. And at the end, I had a few games with Terry Venables.
Yep.
Well, we've got to get into the bulk of your time at Preston. 80s and early, late 80s, early 90s, coming back under Anton Doncevski. Made it to the elimination final against Melbourne Croatia in that first season, but it never really got going in that game, it seems.
No, that was a frustrating game. I remember at Olympic Park, I think we lost 2-0. I mean, Croatia were a good team, but so were we. We had some good boys in that team. John Markowski, I mean, Jolly, George Alesky was playing well. I think Andrew Zinni's in there, you know. It was just one of those days where we just never got going. It reminded me, when I think back of Preston days as well, of the 1991 Cup final against Melita, which we lost 1-0 near the end. That's another game where we sort of got away from us. We could have won that. You know, I think, you know, we were good enough, a team, to have won them, both of those games. But, yeah, it wasn't to be.
And in the 89-90 season, the following season, I think you would have missed most of that season, I believe, because of an injury. You want to tell us a little bit about that and how that came about?
First game of the season, Melbourne Croatia away, down at, Summer Street?
Yep.
So a full house down there. It was about a minute to go, and ball's come up in the air, and I've gone up for a header with Stabber, Andrew Marth, and he's come down and he's, I don't think he meant it. He probably did, yeah. Stabber would have, yeah. But he's landed on my top of my foot, and he's broke my foot in the first game. And so I was out for a good 10 weeks, 11 weeks, and then I came back, first game back against St George. I remember at home, I remember I had the ball, did a step over, turned out, went out the other way, and I just felt it go again. It just went crack in the same spot. So I played the first game, that game back, and then I came back for, I think, the last two games of the season. So I only played like 3 or 4 games that season. So it was a bit of a write-off under Luba Jančev, yep. I think, was coaching then. Yeah.
And then the next year started like an absolute house on fire. Two hat-tricks in the first five, and that goal against Melbourne Croatia, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that off-season. I was so annoyed with what happened the season before. So that off season, I just lived under a squat rack, and I just blew my legs out and got myself super fit. And yeah, first game we beat Wollongong 3-2, I think. Well, I think we were two down actually, and we got back and I got a hat trick. We beat Wollongong 3-2, and we had a decent start. And Croatia came down to Connor Reserve, I think, as the top team at the time, and we absolutely gave them a spank, and we beat them 6-1. It was one of those days everyone was on. Oscar Crino was running the show in midfield. You know, Phil was great in goals. You know, you got boys at the back, Jacko, Sean Parton, Rudy. Everyone was on fire. Georgie P in the middle. I think Trudger and me were up front, and we just dismantled them. And, yeah, I remember scoring a good one in that game, which was, that was a good night as well, I remember.
And who, I remember you'd turned a couple of defenders for that goal. Can you remember who they were? They were some pretty fair players.
That was Andrew Marth and Alan Davidson. Yeah, you had to be sharp around them. So, yeah, that was pleasing. Every time we went forward, we looked dangerous that game. I actually popped it up on YouTube a few days ago again and brought back some great memories. That was certainly, you know, one of those days that doesn't happen very often where everything's on and you get a result like that, and yeah, it was a happy days.
So yeah, at the end of that season, as you mentioned earlier, we made the NSL Cup final against Parramatta up in Sydney, but ended up losing that 1-0 to continue the unfortunate tradition of Preston losing out in these cup final games. Oh, do you remember much of that game?
If you look at my trophy cabinet, I've got that many runners-up medals. It's not funny. Look, it was just one of those games we couldn't get going. It was a pretty drab game from what I remember. We didn't get much up front. Didn't have much service. I know I was struggling with an ankle injury. And I had my ankle strapped heavily, and we just couldn't get going. But saying that, you know, they weren't looking like they were going to do much. It was 0-0, and I think they scored with a minute or two to go, and that was it. But playing in Sydney when you were Preston was always good because there was loads of Macedonians up there. You know, we'd play Olympic at St George, and there'd be as many Massos there as there would the Greeks for Olympics. So you know, it was good. It was a bit like a home game. Some of those games up in Sydney.
Yeah. And you know what I've heard about you, Warren? I'm not sure if this is true, if this is apocryphal, but there was an episode of The Pioneers a couple of months back where I think it was Nick Meredith who brought up a story about you and a prank on the field involving a water pistol. I'm not sure if you remember.
We were playing Adelaide City away. I was at Newcastle, and Robbie Zabika's in goal for Adelaide City, and I was in the national team with Zabby, and we always got along. And I remember before the game, I don't know what time it was, it must have, but I had this really little water pistol, and I think I told Nick, I don't think I told Jimmy, and so I snuck it out in my sock in the warm-up, and I buried it behind the post during the warm-up, and then we were going that way first half, so you know, on a corner, I was just hovering around the post and around the keeper. I was, at my size, I wasn't getting in the middle, going up for headers, and so I dug the water pistol out, and I was just in front of Zabby, and just as the corner was about to be taken, I put it under my arm. Zabby was only about a metre behind me, and I just started squirting him in the face, and he was squealing like a pig, and no one knew what was going on, and the corner never went anywhere, so we never got anything out of it. But, I don't think you'd be able to get away with that these days.
Well, 91-92 was your last season at Preston, and then you made your way over to Newcastle. And you would have played against Preston that year, and I believe you might have even scored a few goals against us.
Yeah. Look, I never liked playing against Preston, to be honest. I know at the end of my career, when I left there and played at Bulleen. I actually probably pulled a couple of injuries I shouldn't have against Preston because I didn't want to play. But, we played. I remember the first game was 0-0 down at Preston.
Yep.
First game coming back was 0-0, but I know we won 4-1 up here in Newcastle, and I got a couple.
Pretty subdued celebration?
No, there wasn't big celebrations, but I think the Preston team was a bit weaker, and we had a good Newcastle team as well. You know, but that was my job. You got to score your goals. Doesn't matter who is against.
Yep. It seems to be a common theme amongst some of the players from that era that we've chatted to. Some of the players who left Preston then scored against them, and then thought, "Ooh, what have I done here?"
I've never told this story. And I was playing at Bulleen after I left Preston in the NPL at the end of my career, and we were playing up at Preston, and we had a good Bulleen team, and we went 1-0 up. I got the ball, and I beat a couple, and I rolled it across to Daddy Nidic, and he scored. And I'm thinking, and it was a pretty full house at Preston. You know, we always got great support at Preston, and I just thought, oh, I'm off. And I just put a Joey Mullen. I said, Joey, off my groin, and I was in my mid-30s, so I could get away with it. But I definitely came off for no reason that game because I just thought it was going to get messy. But, it's funny how those little things, but you do tend to have a favouritism, if you like, to your ex-clubs, and Preston was always mine.
Fast forward to 94-95, around that time, you spent a season or so, or might have been a couple of seasons, in fact, playing in Southeast Asia, in Singapore, Malaysia, with a couple of other...
I had five seasons there, yep.
Yep. because a couple of other guys are playing there, Craig Foster, Alistair Edwards, those sorts of guys. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, well, we were the originals. I mean, Alistair and Abbas went there in 1990 for half a season at Singapore and did really well. And then Craig Foster and myself went there the following season. And it was pretty crazy stuff, 60,000 every game. You know, you get off at the airport and there's hundreds of people there to greet you, and it was, you know, it was absolute chaos. It was, you know, from going National League to, you know, 5,000-10,000 crowds, you know, on a good day. And then Singapore, where 60,000-65,000 every game, it was a hell of an experience. Yeah, and I ended up doing that regularly. I ended up playing for another team, Perak, in 94, which used to get 40-odd thousand. And had a couple of seasons later in my career in Singapore in their S League, which were quite a few of us boys. We were the pioneers that went over there then and did quite well. So Aussie boys just started going along all the time. I know Jolly went to Kedah in 1991 as well. George Gillespie. And then boys like Michael Peterson, Alan Davidson, Darren Stewart. There was quite a few, you know, good Aussie players were going and playing. It was a very good league back then, around that time. But unfortunately, in 94, I left halfway through the season. I was top scorer in the league. But basically, my team were just throwing all the games. Well, throwing most of the games we were supposed to win, they were throwing them. I had half the Malaysian national team in my squad. Some really good players in there. And, I was about to do my nut. I'm on the equator. You know, we've got 40,000 in. I'm running around like a monkey, and these boys aren't passing me the ball. And we're losing games we should win. So I actually, halfway through the season, with my missus, I just jumped on a plane, came home, which went down like a knackered lift over there. But I got justified at the end of the year because 10 of my team got put in jail for match fixing.
Unbelievable.
Just as well you got out of there while you could, I guess.
Well, it was either I was going to do my nut in the dressing rooms, which a few boys I played with probably agree with that, and, you know, I was going to blow my lid. And, you know, what do? You guys are all throwing it. I know that. I know what you can do on the field. I know what you do, and I hear all the rumours, and I've been offered money over there to throw it. I mean, it was rife. And at the end of that season, 80 players got arrested. 26 went to jail, and 10 of them were from my team. So, you know, it's like, well, you know, I just couldn't believe they were doing it. I mean, you know, you're talking, the football was huge over there, and everyone's getting really well paid, and you're throwing football matches, you know, in front of all your fans. I just didn't get it. And, there's a lot of side stories to that, but, that was, a really interesting experience. But Malaysian football back then, it's coming back again now. But I saw an article that Malaysia was 70 in the world at that stage. And then, like, within the next 8-10 years, it was into the 150s or something. Basically, because they lost all their best players because they all got suspended.
Yeah, I think Alan Davidson had a similar experience. I remember him talking about it on this very station about being approached by a match fixer and refusing, and then feeling like he was a little bit under threat as a result. But enough about Malaysian match fixing. Let's get back to your third and I believe final stint with Preston. 99, back in the VPL era.
Yeah. Well, I just came back from Singapore, playing in the Singapore League for a couple of years, and I was going to play National League, but my daughter was 5. She just started school. I actually was going to go and play in China. But we decided, you know, I had enough travelling. And it's the only time I've actually ever rung a club. And I rang someone at the club and said, look, you know, I'm going to stay back in Australia. I just want to play NPL. Are you interested? And I was in my mid-30s, so they said, well, come down and let's have a look and see where you're at. And I was still fit as a fiddle. So, signed for Preston. And we had a good season. I really enjoyed that season under Vlado Vanis. A lot of young boys, a lot of good young boys. Big Sasha Ojanowski was playing, Louis Assesti in goal. And a lot of young boys. Most of the boys were late teens, early 20s, and there was me in my mid-30s, and Emcho Chris Samsoski was probably about 27. He would have been the next oldest.
So, and we finished third. We had a very good season that year.
And these days, Warren, I believe you're heavily involved, not so much coaching or anything like that, but you're heavily involved with a football boot company. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Conkay Football Boots. It's been I'm heavily involved in that. Have been for a long time. It's a different football boot, a new football boot, which has a concave element on the top, which gives you more power and accuracy when you kick the ball, and also a little bit of protection on the top of your foot, which would have been handy for me in 89 when Andrew Marth landed on my foot. I wouldn't have missed a season. It would have taken the impact off it. But yeah, we're growing quite well. We signed the Brazilian star Hulk in China. He was actually here last week playing against Sydney in the Champions League. We got hundreds of players around the world wearing our product. We got some big name ambassadors, Kenny Dalglish, quite a few ex Socceroos shareholders in there. Obviously Michael Peterson, Paul Bowley, Kevin Muscat, Craig Moore, Alistair Edwards. In the AFL, we've got James Hurd and Ron Barassi, because we have a few AFL players, because it works perfectly for AFL. So yeah, we're a growing company, and we're out there. So yeah, look up Conkay Football Boots.
Yeah, well, if you ever needed an endorsement from a player who can strike a ball sweetly, I'm sure Hulk, you couldn't do much better than him. He's got so much power. But, Warren, we'll have to leave it there. We're just running out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the Lions Den and telling us all of those fantastic stories.
No problems, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
Warren Spink, Preston legend, and in great form as well. We've had a lot of people coming through on the Facebook Live asking him if he can come down to the game on Saturday. I think it might be a bit of a hike from, what was it, Newcastle?
That's right. He's mentioned that Congave do have an office down in Melbourne. He's going to be down here a fair bit. So I've told him that the door's always open down there, and he'll have a plethora of people offering him free beer and free Johnny Walkers and Cokes at the games, I've said. So he's definitely going to make a trip to BT Connor Reserve this year.
Chivapi roll waiting for him on arrival, I'm sure. Kebapi, I should say.
That's it. That's the right one.
Well, I guess we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much to you, Chris.
Thank you, Josh. Pleasure,
thank
mate.
You to all of our wonderful guests who came in to the studio and gathered behind the glass. It was like being on Sunrise or something with the crowd we had in here. And thank you to all of you watching and listening at home. We will be back at the same time next week. And go Preston.
Preston, Preston, mark it though.
Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo. Near post, Zinni. It's in. And again, Warren Spink has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. Two goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.